Okay, heading in now over to the United States of America. Let's speak to Edward Campanola. Good afternoon or good morning to you, Edward. How are you?
That's right. It's good morning here, but good afternoon to you, Dave, and your listeners.
We're fine, Edward. Thank you. Just tell us exactly whereabouts you are in the United States of America at the moment.
I'm in what I like to call paradise. It's what we call wine country in Northern California. It's the North Bay of San Francisco.
Ah, oh, fantastic. It's brilliant. I'd love to go. I really would.
Beautiful.
Yes. I've been to LA, but never been to San Francisco.
Unfortunately, it's not paradise for everyone.
No. And that's what we're going to be talking about today because, where to start with this? Because you've actually written a novel and the book's a story, which is it's great. It's a fantastic book. It really is. Where do we start? I mean, let's just maybe start off with you. How did you find yourself to be homeless? What's your story, Edward?
You have to read the book because that's the account of becoming homeless is what it's about. And, you know, I mean, there were several things that happened to me, and there are things that can happen to anyone, and it's, you know, losing a job, and it's, you know, it's just when things happen, bad things happen to good people, and they can happen, you know, several times to bad things to good people.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me. So it was a series of things.
Now, obviously, we're going to talk about a few things here, but the majority of the stuff we won't cover because it'd be in the book, of course. It's interesting to note that a lot of times we speak to people on this show and other radio stations will do the same and other media outlets, people who were maybe once homeless and now are rich or making a lot of money, and they've written a book on how they did that. And not very often do you actually get an insight into what it's actually like to be homeless and still be homeless.
Right. You know, not too many people have really gotten out of this situation at all. Most people end up just becoming part of the street and they surrender to it because the stigma attached to it, because there's no... The society doesn't help us as homeless to make ourselves better. If you need to use a mirror and, you know, you go into a restroom here, you're not going to find a mirror. They're just trying to keep the homeless out of, you know, any facility. And then the outlets to keep a phone charged. Any of the resources that you need to better yourself, they're not available to you. So you have no resources and you've got a society that hates you. I just recently found out that there are people that are okay with homeless people and that they donate to homeless people on panhandlers at street corners, which is something I never do. And it gave me it shed some light on how there are some people out there that really care.
Yeah.
Because the panhandlers tell me, you know, I get a lot of money from people out here, you know, but I don't do that. So I don't know how that works.
Yeah. I think there are times when, we see homeless people here, of course, in Spain and in the UK. And I think maybe the difference in culture between America and the UK would be that healthcare isn't free at the point of use and so on.
Right.
And so there's a few issues there which I suppose you would have trouble with if you... and we're going to... Let me just ask this about what happened to you in Colorado. Just on the border there, you were on a Greyhound bus and you find yourself in a very drastic situation.
Yeah, well, you know, it's frightening, and don't drive the Greyhound. as we entered into Colorado from Kansas, and I was returning from a campaign I worked on, and I was feeling really empowered and really good about myself. And, you know, I had this book going, and I hadn't finished it yet, but, you know, I had to publish it. Anyway, the man in front of me slowly and deliberately turned as to not alert me and anyone else, having his weapon on the top of the chair in front of me. He lunged 18 inches away from me, and he struck me with a 8-inch long flathead screwdriver through my cheek. It went and it scraped my teeth and gums both levels, and then went lodged itself in the back of my throat, damaging the artery. Well, he pulled it out then, and then he struck me again. This man was just violently, savagely attacking me. And he, you know, for no reason.
Wow.
He was unprovoked. The man next to me got up and had, at this point, I kind of went into shock. And so it's weird. Yeah. You're just looking at things. It's almost like you're watching a video, you know. And then he grabbed him and he got cut. His ear got cut in half. The amazing thing is So, but then he was able to subdue, to hold him, and he sat back down, and the man lit a cigarette to attack him.
Wow.
And the people on the bus were yelling, just get off the bus, get off the bus. And I was just bleeding in the aisle, and I you know, was coming to because the blood filled in my mouth.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do with it. You know, it was a moment of, you know, I just, you know, what do you do with it? And I went to ask someone, do I spit it out? You know, what do I do? And it just came bubbling out, you know. And
yeah.
I guess I just spit it out. But it's just crazy. This man ended up getting 2 years probation. Here's the really crazy part. The guy next to me, the guy who saved my life, and probably others on the bus, he had to go to jail because they had a warrant for him out of state. Something he had done in New York or something. It was a charge, which actually became, he got dismissed because he didn't have money to bail out of his charge. He had to spend 6 months in jail while all that time the guy that attacked us was released on bail.
Yes.
He got bailed out, and then when he goes to court, he gets 2 years probation. He didn't go to jail for trying to kill two people and possibly others. You know, I mean, that's part of it. You know, things like that in this country. But I think that we just have a violent society, and you know, we answer things way too quickly with violence. You know, and that's something we need to. I can't really control that. You know, but just I think if we love one another, you know, it's the best thing that we can do.
I was speaking to somebody down here who is a former criminal in the UK. And they were saying that there's two worlds in Spain. There's a world that most people see, the tourists and holidaymakers and those that are maybe moving to Spain and young families and so on. And then there's another world that nobody sees. And it sometimes feels like, depending on where you are in America, you could be in a very safe area and not see anything. But in other places, maybe that you would see is the other world that a lot of people don't see.
Well, I can tell you this, you know, there's more than 100 million people worldwide that are homeless.
Yeah.
So every day there's people that are, I mean, just the feeling of that insecurity, that, you know, your well-being at stake all the time, you know, and when you try to get things together and people come in and will take them from you, you can't keep anything. But I think that there are places that it's hidden, and I think that that's what people try to do, of course, because, you know, they don't want anyone to, you know, see that they're homeless in their neighborhood, you know, but it's where in this region right here, it's impossible to not notice because there's just so many homeless, you know, and they're all on the street. It's just, they're street people. There's nothing you can, you know, you can't hide them. So they try their best and, you know, people need to, both the homeless people and our society needs to work together and come to, you know, some solutions to this really growing issue. And it's a worldwide issue. Over 100 million people.
Yeah.
It's way too many people.
Now, the thing is, as well, which I find fascinating is, because I work in a church, the church I know does a lot of work for homeless people. What's it like in the States, charities and so on? Are there charities that do help out?
It's brilliant, Dave. It's a brilliant question. And, you know, they look like they're doing a lot, but really, when you look deeper, they're not doing a lot.
Yeah.
And they're not only are they not providing a lot of services for anybody. It's very difficult to walk into a place and say I need help. Is very, very difficult to do. It takes a lot.
Yeah.
To say I have nothing, you know, and all my stuff was stolen, and you know, and to go up and to have them say no, is you know, it's just quite, you know, now it's. I didn't want to do it in the first place. Now you're telling me I can't, you know, you can't help me, you know. That's the one thing that you don't expect when you're homeless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're feeling like you're going to go there and they're going to help you out, and then you get there and they can't help you. So they'll do things like fabricate, they'll manipulate long lines, you know, so that they can get the press to come take pictures and stuff like that. So they'll exploit homeless too as well a little bit. You know, but I think Catholic Charities does an okay job. But, you know, they wouldn't help me sell directions to the dumpster. Here I am, I'm a homeless guy, I write a book with no resources, you know, and I asked them to help, figuring that you know, that maybe they could help me network or, you know, market the book. And I got no help from them, and I even emailed one of the guys a copy of it, and he never replied. I went to the place, you know, so they're not really, they do what they can. They're limited budgets, and what can I say? They also have a really, they have a lot of offices, and then they have a lot of administration, you know?
Yeah. So, and we're talking about, one, the richest economy in the world, I think, if I remember rightly, United States of America. It's amazing, isn't it, that in the richest country in the world that there are millions of people, thousands of people that are not living in homes.
It is. And in Directions to the Dumpster, in the book, I say how, there are those, there's those wealthy people, and there's those, and they're not just, that they don't want to help homeless people. It's worse. It's they pick on you. I mean, there's people that ride around throwing eggs at you. There's people that, so it's not just, and if you do have one of these, like, food carts, for example, the stigma attached to these things are just, it's just awful. You know, you don't want to use this thing. You know, you have pride. You believe in, and you want to produce everything that you can to take care of yourself. And then when you go and use it, it's, the faces you get from people, you'll hear people saying, it's food cart,
Yeah.
It's just really embarrassing, and they make it embarrassing for you.
Is there a perception, though, amongst people who maybe got... there's also a perception, of course, that people who live in homes are well off and that they may be really struggling to make ends meet as well. And it's difficult to kind of tar everybody with the same brush, isn't it, to say that,
It is incredible that there are so many people that are on that, one paycheck away from being homeless and they don't even realize it.
Yeah.
And think that they've got this great life going on. It's so simple that it can happen to you in this country.
Yeah.
You lose a job, someone makes a mistake, boom, you're done.
Is it an attitude that says, it's the American dream, anybody can make it, and be successful in America, so why just get a job, and it's a very simplistic view of it, but it doesn't take in, people are very ignorant to the real needs that are around them.
Of course, because you're not going to have enough to pay for a place, and it's very hard to save when you don't have a place or a place to start, you need a place to start building up things.
Yeah.
It's amazing as all the money that there is here, that there is so much poverty and there is so much homelessness.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be.
Has there been any hope over the years with different presidents and politicians or mayors? Have you seen, or are they all really saying the same thing, or saying the right things but not really doing anything?
They are saying the same thing.
Yeah.
They aren't doing anything, and in fact, it's amazing. In this, you talk about, here's a homeless person that, without resources, was able to write, edit, publish a book, and is marketing and promoting it by himself.
Yeah,
I can't get. I'm being ignored by the U.S. media. I mean, it's been a month, and I've been sending press releases. The book's been out for 3 weeks, and the Directions to the Dumpster is not being heard on the radio in the United States today, and that's a really sad statement. I mean, that's an enormous statement.
Yeah.
The fact that. And now, in the book, you read, there's there is a person from the UK that is a friend of mine, or Fast Eddie's, and he helps him out. And I thought maybe it was a cultural thing myself because I see this in him. And then there's another person. Well, there's another person that I gave the book to, who had, I use things here when I'm not working, so I park time and work, but I use the facilities. And a lot of people, homeless people, do that. And to clean the parking lots, whatever it might be. So this person alerted the corporate that, that I was doing this stuff. And they sent out a memo. They didn't really make a big deal out of it. But, they said, if you have to be there, you have to be working on time. Well, he came to me after reading the book, and he was crying, and he apologized for the way he had treated me and the things he had done. See, the thing is, people don't realize what it's like. This is one of those experiences like going to prison, or going to war, when it is, and you don't know what it's like unless you actually live the experience.
Yeah, and I don't want to sound patronizing to you because I can't say to you that I can relate to you because I can't. I've always lived in a house, so I can't. So I'm not going to patronize you and say that I can relate to where you are right now. But is there any interest at all? You said American media outlets aren't interested. Is it because they don't really want to look at you're an inconvenient truth.
Exactly, that's and like you were saying earlier, you know, people want to hide it. You know, yeah. They don't want to know that it exists. And so that's, I'm experiencing that right now. And it's really shocking. There's no voice for the homeless people. There's plenty of people talking about.
Yeah.
You know, here's Directions to the Dumpster. And this book, it tells the story. It tells you how, you know, hey, you know, it was events, bad things that happened to good people. And they end up in this situation. And then they get treated like you're a criminal.
Yeah.
I mean, these are good people and end up being treated like criminals. And you know, forced to go to different places and you know, all their belongings taken over and over again. You know, it's just a vicious cycle, and it's one that's really hard to get out of. And I think that's what's great about the book too. Not to you know to give up the ending, of course, but there's a lot of attempts
yeah.
that are made to get out of the situation, and you just have to read.
Have you yes, exactly. We won't be able to buy the book. That's what we're going for here, Edward. Have you ever nearly made it? Have you been in a place where you thought, I was that close to getting out of this situation?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And there, you know, I mean, all my stuff got stolen.
Oh.
You know, because there's no way to keep things if you're homeless.
Yeah.
You know, you can't. There's no security. This is what's hard to explain to people. Is that you have to understand there's no security at any time.
No.
Whatever you have, you keep on your possession, you know, and that's it. And I've had things while I was sleeping taken from me, you know, like a phone once.
Yeah.
Which is rare, but my God, you know, it was the one phone I really liked that got stolen from my person right out of my pocket while I slept. You know. Because that's the thing. People will say, you know, oh, well, you know, you have to keep a better eye on that. You know, I got to sleep at some point, right? What am I going to do? You know?
Edward, with this book now, because time's against us, we've got people listening to us online in America now. And I'm asking if anybody's listening in America to look this up online and to share the book on social media, get it out there.
Right.
And
it's available on, you can get it at Amazon.
Yeah. Okay, and we're going to message. It's also going to be available on our website as well. If you, there's a great speech as well, which I'm not going to have time to read out now. I may read it out in the second hour of the show if I got time.
Please do, please do.
But what happens if the book does well and money starts to come in? Have you got some sort of plan as to moving forward? How you can get out of this situation, or are you just?
I do.
Yeah.
I do, and what I'd really like to get to is to you know, that next level, because I want to have a place where a homeless person can come, and when they need, all we need is love, and that's it. And when someone welcomes you, and I want to have a place where at any time, at least for the first two times, a homeless person can come and we say, come on in.
Yeah.
And they get a hug, and they get a, you know, you're loved here. Because what happens is people to get to this situation are not, someone's given them directions to the dumpster, obviously. Yeah. But they're, you know, but the way to get to the address on Happy Street is through love.
Yeah.
And that's it. There's no other way. And if I could have put this book into just one, you know, phrase, that would be it. You know, just love one another.
Yeah.
And everything will work out, you know. And so I think that's all we need to cure a lot of issues, really. A lot of our solutions are just simply loving that can, you know, help us all have a better world.
I'm going to try and keep in touch with you, Edward. I've got your number now. And we'll be praying for you here, at my church in particular in Spain. And wishing you all the very best, and hope that we hear of great things coming in the future for you.
I think if I sell 10,000 books, then I think I'm out of the homeless situation.
Okay. And how?
For the time being.
So the book's been released. Are you able to keep a track on how many are being sold at the moment?
I don't know. Amazon says they take 6 weeks to update, so it's only been out for 3.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't really know. But it's kind of strange to be in a situation like this, you know, and not know.
Yeah.
Because to me, I mean, every book that's sold is another book closer to getting off the street and at it, you know, and having a secure well-being again.
Yeah. And it's a story book as well. It's a great read. So was it difficult to actually write the book? With where did you go to the library and so on to write the book?
You know, that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
And I did it on both coasts. I was on the East Coast in New York, and I did it partially there. And I had a book that, you know, I had a contract for. And then it was when I went traveled back to California that the attack took place, and all kinds of, you know, extraordinary stuff.
Yeah.
Took place, and so I had first wrote it, and it was for therapy, so just a complete stranger, you know, suggested it. And so I started writing little bits that were like moments or events. You know, they weren't, there was no story at all. It's just matter of fact, you know, account of what happened, you know. And so when I got done with writing those, I said, geez, you know, I wish I could find someone to write this, put this into a story, because there's some really, there's some extraordinary events that took place, and it just needs to be an entertaining novel, you know. And I didn't know how to do it, so I couldn't find anybody. So I did it in the first place. I didn't really like it, but I did create a story, and then I rewrote it in California when I got here, and added a bunch of stuff too.
Yeah.
So it was on both coasts in public libraries. You know, God bless. Thank you to the public library, because it's the only thing that I have.
Yeah.
That's it. And a lot of homeless people to get jobs, to put out resumes, to, you know, send, you know, just do emails and.
Well, Edward, listen, thank you for coming on. We are out of time, unfortunately, but we wish you all the very best, Eddie, and I hope we can keep in touch and hear great things for you. Thanks, Edward.
Dave, anything you need to just give me a call anytime. I'm available.
And I'm just going to say to our listeners now, go on to Amazon or go on to our website, which is tre.radio. Click on the bookshop banner there and look up the book there. And it's called Directions to the Dumpster. If you want to help Eddie out and buy a good book in the process as well, then I suggest you do that. Thanks, Eddie. Thanks for coming on.
Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody there in Spain.
Stay safe. Stay strong.
Have a good day.
Take care.
Oh, and you take too.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.